Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello and welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today is quite significant because for some good number of programs now, we've been working through the Gospel of Mark. But today we come to the last chapter, Mark chapter 16. And it really is an exciting note to end the Gospel on, because having had this incredibly challenging week, culminating in his death by crucifixion, separated from Father as he bears our sin upon himself, now we're going to see a very different story. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome brought spices to go to anoint Jesus' body, but as they're thinking about however we're going to get rid of that massive stone at the entrance, and they see the stone is rolled away. And when they enter the tomb, there's a young man there dressed in a white robe, and he says, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See where they laid him. Go and tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Things have turned. Jesus is risen. There's no body in the tomb. And it's not because it was moved somewhere else. He had truly risen from the dead. Now, the following verses in Mark have been considered by some to be somewhat contentious. It's said that they're not in the original manuscripts. But I think that an important test is not so much whether they were added, it's more whether they reflect what we read in the rest of Scripture. And I believe, looking at the rest of Scripture, the verses that we find from 9 to 20, they do actually have credence in Scripture. Mary Magdalene, demons driven out of her, that is true. It's true that there were two walking in the country on the Emmaus Road. Luke tells us about that. It's true that Jesus appears and challenges the disciples about their unbelief, because he said he would rise. And it's true that he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation," and that you should baptize those who believe. So all of that's true. Now, it's seen in the Acts of the Apostles, it's seen in the other Gospels, these things happened. Now, what Mark records is that there are signs that accompany those who believe. He says they'll drive out demons, they'll speak in new tongues, they'll pick up snakes with their hands, they'll drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They'll place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Well, we do see those things happening. We certainly see that the believers, empowered by the risen Christ, find that they do have authority to cast out demons. It happens in Paul's ministry. It happens as the church begins to move out and touch the lives of people who have that problem. We certainly see that Paul himself, a snake fastens onto his hand, he shakes it off, and he does not die. I guess the one thing that we don't have much illustration about is the drinking of deadly poison. But again, I think the principle that nothing can destroy, nothing can harm those who are in the will of God. And down the years, without doubt, there have been people who've been inflicted with so many things, but they've had their faith in Jesus and they have gone on proclaiming the gospel. Well, it is contentious. There are certain things to think about, but certainly verse 20 is there. The disciples went out, preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. People hear the gospel and see the power of the gospel. But I must pause, we must have some worship, and my good friend Patrick will join me to look at this concluding chapter of Mark's gospel.
Like the sound of many waters is the praise from your sons and daughters. Hear it rising from your people. It's our worship, it's our heart's call. Like the sound of many waters is the praise from your sons and
listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've come now to look further with Richard at the final chapter of Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, looking at the resurrection. Just clarify for us, Richard, first of all, because you don't get a lot of detail in this particular account, why were these women going to the tomb?
Yes, well, the crucifixion had all been done in a bit of a hurry, and for Jews, for a body to be on the cross, a Passover was a particularly bad thing as they saw it. A bit strange because they crucified anyway, but they wanted to get these bodies down pretty swift, and therefore some of the normal niceties, preparation for burial, just hadn't really happened. And these women were concerned. Of course, they weren't all aware of what Mary Magdalene had done in the previous program, that when we referred to her anointing the body. So they went to do the ritual niceties.
So when we look at the resurrection, it's obviously the one thing, the one aspect of Christianity that sets the Christian faith apart from any other world faith. The founder of that faith died and rose again. And it's actually, in many ways, for many people, quite a difficult thing to believe. And various theories have been put forward that trying to sort of explain the resurrection. The first theory being that actually Jesus hadn't died at all. And so he was in his tomb, he recovered, and he just walked off. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that's almost more incredible to believe than the resurrection. Because if you actually look at the account, and I just said that it was a bit hurried, but the death situation wasn't hurried. They did not move those bodies until the people had died. Mm. And what they'd been through, scourging, which could often kill a man before they even put him on a cross, and the ordeal of the cross itself, there's no question that Jesus truly had died.
Right. The other reason which is sometimes put forward to explain away the resurrection was that actually they made it all up. It didn't really happen. The disciples cooked up the story.
Well, yes, that is something that's said. But again, you've got to remember that it's not going to be very long before these people, these Christians, are going to be fearlessly proclaiming the good news of Jesus and even laying down their lives for this faith in a resurrection Jesus. So if deep down they knew that they'd secretly moved the body to another location, how could they possibly handle that and then face what they did? They obviously really, really believed it.
So from your point of view, there's no doubt in your mind that the resurrection was a real event.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely, thoroughly, totally convinced it really happened. And indeed, one would humbly say, we have experienced the risen Jesus in our lives. Doesn't mean we know everything about him. Doesn't mean that we've suddenly become perfect. But we know he's alive. He's spoken to us. He's made himself real to us. And that makes all the difference.
And how important is the resurrection to the Christian faith? Would it matter that much if it hadn't happened?
It would have mattered enormously if it hadn't happened. If Jesus hadn't risen, we'd have no hope. If Jesus hadn't risen, then as far as death and facing the end of our life, we've got no hope at all. Our hope is all based on the fact that Jesus went through death and he is going to take us through death, even as he did. He's destroyed Satan. He's destroyed all of the plans to ruin what God wanted, our salvation and our forgiveness, through his resurrection. And he's with us today.
Okay, well, there we must leave it. We've reached the end of Mark's Gospel. Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.